We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
And I am pondering the citizenry of the place I live. Privilege and advantage, but a willingness to give. These droves and droves of immigrants came teeming across the plains. Cavalry behind them, we are what remains.
And if you've got a dollar, someone will give you something for it. But a little more will get you something nicer, I'm sure of it. Maybe a watch that's made in China from the trunk of someone's car, or a life-size cardboard cutout of a famous movie star.
But somewhere bells are ringing, somewhere someone's marrying, or a casket someone's carrying. A crowd somewhere is gathering, somewhere a bell is marking what is passing and sublime. Like the clock of the world, keeping perfect holy time.
Ravenous and beautiful, it's all beyond me, I admit. I can buy it if I want it, but I don't need so much of it. And the price will need...
From Illinois Public Media, this is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. That is a song titled Clock of the World, and I had the great pleasure of hearing it first on the Midnight Special not too long ago. Our guest this afternoon in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine is the host of the Midnight Special, Rich Warren. The Midnight Special is a program of folk music and humor that's long been a staple of Chicago's WFMT. It's also heard on many public radio stations, including this one, and we hope that you'll join us for the Midnight Special Saturday afternoons from 2 to 4 here on AM 580, FM 90.9, HD2, or online at will.illinois.edu. Rich Warren joined the staff of WFMT in 1974. In 1983, he became the co-host of the Midnight Special. Now he's the solo host. He joins us this afternoon to talk about folk music and to share some music with us. Today, he's brought a number of pieces, and we'll see how it goes. We'll work through them as we usually do. We never get to play all of them, unfortunately, but there's always the Midnight Special to look forward to on Saturday afternoons here on WILL. Listeners, I look forward to hearing from you this afternoon. You can join us with a phone call or by email. The phone number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, that number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Rich, good to see you again. Thanks so much for coming in today.
It's great to be here. Always a real pleasure to be with you, Celeste. And I just want to say that in these tough economic times that WFMT gives the Midnight Special to WILL as a gift. You don't pay for it, so it's not hurting the budget of WILL to run the Midnight Special. It is a gift from WFMT. So I'm very honored to be on this station since I live here, and it's a real joy to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, our thanks to WFMT for their gift. Well, tell us about this tune, Clock of the World. I was driving when I heard this, and I almost had to pull over.
Well, I had the same reaction. I was driving when I first heard. I auditioned CDs in the car driving to Chicago to host the program up in Chicago. And I had listened to the previous songs on the CD. It's a CD entirely of songs inspired by or have something to do with Charles Darwin. It was performed at a folk festival in Great Britain last summer. And it has some great British all-stars plus three or four Americans on this. And there's some people who are quite well-known in Britain. Plus, the woman who wrote and opened the song that you heard, that we played, Krista Detour actually lives near Bloomington, Indiana, so she's a sort of a local girl in some respects. And when I heard this song, I just couldn't believe it. I was breathless. And considering the amount of music I hear on a regular basis, the number of 20 or 30 CDs I receive a week now, when I hear something that really stops my heart, it's something really special. And that song just utterly blew me away. It just was so intense, both the lyrics and the melody and the singing. They do that choral thing at the choruses with all these beautiful women's voices, really well-known women from the folk scene. And I was just breathless. The whole CD is great, but that song is something that, to me, is real special.
Now, this artist, Krista Detour?
Yeah.
Is she has she been out in the world making music for a while, or is she someone I am not acquainted with her?
Well, it's funny, neither was I originally. She was introduced to me basically, I guess, by Carrie Newcomer, who's also from that area of Indiana. And they hang out, they have a little musical collective. It includes Tim Grimm and some of the other people in that part of between Bloomington and Columbus, Indiana. Krista is actually, I guess, probably around 40-ish or so, and she's been making music for quite a while, but she was making it in Europe. She has a lot of, all her CDs were originally pressed in Europe, and now she's first releasing them here. And she has a gorgeous alto voice. We've had her on our folk stage series on WFMT, and a just wonderful, smoky, velvety voice. But she's a terrific composer and a fine pianist, as you can hear. And her husband conveniently runs a recording studio, so she now is able to do everything she envisions with all her friends. And she was part of the Wilderness Plots Project, which is this musical history of southern Indiana. So she's multi-talented, and she was about to release a solo CD that includes this song, but her mother took ill, and she's sort of taken a six-month sabbatical to care for her mother. But she's coming back next winter, and you'll be hearing a lot more of her.
Okay, very good. Well, I will look for her. By the way, listeners, this afternoon we will have on our website, if it's not already there, the CDs and the tunes that we're going to listen to this afternoon. So if you don't have a chance to write it down at the moment, it'll be there for you later today. So what else have you brought with you today?
Well, this is a very unusual recording. Peter Mulvey is considered one of the most talented of the singer-songwriters, but he's also a very offbeat performer. He doesn't do anything quite like anybody else. His songs are a little bit out there sometimes. And this new CD, I was listening to it, it sounded typical Peter Mulvey, creative, interesting songs. And then this CD, however, has interludes of spoken word accompanied by music in the form of letters that he's written on airplanes to his nieces and nephews, his very young nieces and nephews. And the spoken word parts were just mesmerizing, the depth and the brilliance of them. Again, another arresting experience. And I was thoroughly enjoying it until then I got to this one, and it actually changed my whole philosophical conception of the world, like a religious experience. When, you know, a lot of us like to think about whether we're alone in the universe, whether there are other life forms, mm-hmm. are there flying saucers, you know, will we ever meet other civilizations? And in this little five-minute piece, he makes you understand why we'll probably always be alone and how significant that is and why. And you don't expect to find this on a recording of a folk singer-songwriter. So this is Peter Mulvey and something called Vlad the Astrophysicist.
Okay, and we're going to listen to the entire piece.
Yes. And that's to simulate the airplane.
4th of December, 2008. Over the eastern seaboard. Dear Adeline, far below, the long evening light is fleeing the mountains of Nova Scotia. With any luck, I will sleep in the sky tonight and wake up in Ireland. This summer, for reasons that are too complicated to go into here, I found myself sitting behind a motel in remote West Virginia with an astrophysicist from the Czech Republic named Vlad. Vlad and I see each other every few years, and we get along famously, probably because I love astrophysics, and he loves music, and we love beer. In fact, we had found some beer at a gas station, and we were drinking and talking as we sat in the metal chairs there by the river that goes behind the motel, looking up at a huge West Virginia sky full of stars. Vlad, I said, I've always wanted to know the answer to this question. And you strike me as the only guy I'm ever going to meet that can give me an answer. So lay it on me, pal. Are there intelligent civilizations out there other than us? And if there are, then why haven't they contacted us? Vlad looked at me over his glasses.
That is two questions, he said.
First question is easy to answer. The answer is yes, many. Given the number of stars, the abundance of amino acids everywhere in the universe you look, very possibly many, many civilizations have arisen. No, the second question, why have they not contacted us? That is the real question. And it is difficult to answer, but here is my best guess. You must use your imagination. And he held his hands out at shoulder width, and he said, imagine the entire universe is only about this big, only the size of a beach ball. I mean, universe is not spherical, but go with me on this, okay? Now, imagine that all of time, 13.5 billion years from the Big Bang until now, imagine that that goes by in, say, 5 minutes. On that scale, consider us. We are an intelligent civilization, yes? We make radio waves, rocket ships, baseball, Great Wall of China, Bach sonatas. Clearly, intelligent civilization. The question is, how long do we last? Another 5,000 years? 50,000? Another 5 million years? It does not matter. On the universal scale that I am asking you to consider, those all look the same. They look like this. And he held his hand in front of him with thumb and forefinger pressed together and parted them for the barest instant. And as he did so, he made a sound through his teeth. Psst. He looked at me to see if I understood. Every human that has ever lived and will ever live, all the history that we have made and will ever make. Psst. He paused to let that sink in. It sank in. So, he said, here is the universe. And again, he held his hands out, defining the space. And here are the intelligent civilizations as they arise in the universe. And he moved his hand here. Psst. Then here. Psst. Then here. Psst. You see, he said, they never meet each other. Time is too long. Space is too large. I mean, sure, maybe at one time it happened that right next to each other, at the same time, two civilizations sprang up and they had war, better yet, they had peace, they had arts exchanges, they had an intergalactic library. But they are all dead now, too. In all likelihood, we are alone. And by the time the next civilization arises, we will have been gone for a long, long time. I looked back at the sky, still so full of stars. I probably don't need to tell you that although they looked exactly the same as they had a couple of minutes ago, they looked completely different. I didn't say anything for a minute. Then I said, Vlad, would you like another beer? Anyhow, Adeline, the word from your household is that this week you began lifting your head up all by yourself, looking around at the faces that hover over your crib, occasionally favoring one of them with a smile. You keep up the good work. Love, Uncle Peter.
Letters from a Flying Machine from Peter Mulvey. I've never had a beer with an astrophysicist. I'm sure it would be an experience.
Yeah, and of course, factually, he's correct. I recall seeing on the old Bell Telephone Science series that if the history of the solar system was a 24-hour clock, human beings appeared at 1 minute of midnight. And when everybody thinks of the vastness of space, but most people never think of the vastness of time. And that's what this opened up to me, was that certainly there are other civilizations out there, but it's a matter of not merely distance, but of time, because the universe is so old. And who knows what happened long before even our solar system was here. So it's a very profound experience, and I just got wrapped up in it. The whole CD is quite good. There's a thing about life and death, telling a child about what death is, and he handles it so well. Mm. It's so light and yet so significant. It's an amazing recording, I think, and I immediately booked him for our Folk Stage Concert Series because I was so moved by this CD. So,
boy, to get a letter like that, too, wouldn't that be something? It you know, it says to you, take care of one another and grow up and be strong and do good things, right?
Yeah. And it's things like this and some of the other music we'll be sharing this afternoon that make me so happy to be doing what I'm doing and creating the Midnight Specials, being able to share thoughts like this and music that just sort of really gets to you and really can kind of change your view of the universe or at least your fellow humans. Mm. And it's very moving. I brought something else, though. We're getting very serious and heavy here.
We're going to move to something a little bit lighter.
The Midnight Special, of course, also plays a lot of comedy and satire. And there's two British humorists who work for the BBC, Mitchell and Webb, who now have four volumes of their work issued on CD from their BBC program. And I heard this, and I thought immediately of Ed Kieser. So let's dedicate this to Ed in a good-natured way.
All right.
Congratulations, Tim. You are now officially a weatherman.
Oh, I feel absolutely fantastic. I can't believe I passed the practical exam.
Well, we were particularly impressed by your lilting intonation and your ability to stop one sentence in a weird place and run the next one on. Also, your skill at gesturing at stuff that isn't there was fantastic. Not everyone can hit Salisbury first time, but you aced it.
Brilliant, thank you.
Firstly, we'll just take you on a tour of the meteorological building, let you get a feel of where everything is.
Great.
Then I think I'll get you in front of the camera, do a few dummy forecasts, so you can get comfortable for your first broadcast.
Brilliant.
Then we'll present you to the almighty, all-knowing weather brain. Blessed be his weather-predicting lobes.
I'm with you.
That should just about take us up to lunchtime, which I believe today is lasagna.
Right, sorry to backtrack here, but could you perhaps just run through the whole weather brain part again?
We have to go and worship in front of the weather brain. Very, very standard weatherman stuff.
I see. And the weather brain is...
A giant pulsating brain which predicts the weather for us.
Right. I thought we sort of studied weather patterns, air pressure, that sort of thing.
Yep, a common misunderstanding. In fact, we get all our information from the weather brain, and in return, we worship it like a god, forsaking all other false deities and make offerings of sacrificed mammals in its name. Glory be to the weather brain.
Sacrifices?
Oh, nothing too heavy. Mainly goats, the occasional dog. Very, very few human babies.
Babies?
Hardly any babies at all. Honestly, after your third or fourth baby, you'll wonder what the big old fuss was about in the first place.
No. I want out.
Okay, that's fine. It's not for everyone, the life of a TV weatherman. All you have to do is sign a few boring legal forms, hand in your badge, and lastly, fight the weather studio tiger.
A tiger? I can't fight a tiger.
Few can, Tim. We gaffer tape some knives, screwdrivers, sticks, basically anything pointy, to the head and torso of the studio tiger and have it run at you until one of you ceases to move.
Right. Well, what are we waiting for? Hand me a goat and let's go meet the weather brain.
Terrific. Though today is a baby day.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
So, you see, Ed's departure isn't quite as bad as it could be.
No, we have not had to fight studio tigers. Thank goodness. Although it would boost ratings, would it not? Maybe we could try that for the fun drive coming up in April.
Okay. We'll suggest that. And
no babies, though.
No babies.
No goats or dogs either. But a fight with a tiger might be interesting. Maybe we get Dave T. into a tiger costume and...
It could be interesting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you'd have to pledge to save your favorite personality from going in with the tiger.
Yeah.
So that could bring in a lot of pledges.
Rich Warren, the host of the Midnight Special, is our guest this afternoon here on The Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions, comments. Join us with a phone call or by email. The phone number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455-800-222-WILL. The email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. will-talk@illinois.edu. And maybe we should talk here just a little bit to give folks an opportunity to join us this afternoon on the phone or by email. You mentioned earlier that one of the people that we heard from, her husband, Krista, her husband, has a studio, And this brings up an interesting line of questions, I think, because today with technology, what it is, there's so much we can do without a lot of equipment. What are these artists doing to get their work out? What kind of technology are they using, and has that made a difference in getting their music out into the world?
Yes, that's a major topic of conversation. In fact, at the recent Folk Alliance International Conference that I attended in Memphis, I moderated a panel of radio DJs and record company executives, because the future, and it's starting now, it already is occurring, is the record labels, the ones that remain, want to send their music to the radio stations via the internet rather than mailing CDs, because the cost of mailing CDs is prohibitive these days thanks to the postal rates. And, of course, the cost of making the CD while sending it via the internet, it costs virtually nothing. And they want stations to accept things as downloads, store the library on servers rather than physical records, physical CDs. And that's a major point. A lot of independent artists, of course, is a huge financial issue with them, because if you're just a person putting out your own CD and have to spend $1,000 or $2,000 in postage costs above the cost of making the CD, that's significant when you are not making a large income.
Right.
So that's a major thing. A lot of CDs I receive now are made in people's basements, attics, garages, you know, the Macintosh Apple GarageBand program. Having a professional recording studio still sounds better and gives you a little more versatility in what you can do. But more and more people are simply sitting down in their living room, clicking the mouse, and recording their CDs. So that's another change in things that 10 years ago you just didn't have this. People went to a studio and made a professional recording. Now they sit in their basement and do it at home.
Yeah. So what is the income picture like for these artists? Are they making any money?
Some of them, the few good ones, are making a living. It requires touring probably 200 to 250 days a year, being on the road. That's how they make their living, and selling CDs, or now they're selling downloads. But at the average concert, they can sell quite a few CDs. At our Folk Stage series at WFMT, some of the artists sell between $300 and $600 worth of CDs to our audience. So it's a significant amount of income, considering the CDs only cost them maybe $4 to make. They can make a living that way. If CDs go away, they're going to have to figure out something else to sell at concerts. I think they should be selling like download cards that have a barcode that you take to your computer at home, show it to the computer, and it downloads the CD or the music for you. We're in a very strange transition. It affects radio. It affects recording. It affects musicians. I don't think any of our predecessors, our parents who had to do the transition from radio to television, have gone through anything quite this significant in what's happening between established media, radio, TV, newspapers, magazines, and the internet and the future of distribution of music and media. It's a new world. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I hope I survive. My radio career survives long enough, because radio stations, at some point, there are apps for the iPhone now where you can listen to your favorite radio station on the iPhone. So you don't need a transmitter. You just have it in your pocket. And so what happens when all the transmitters go away, when we don't have actually broadcast? This is a whole evolution now. It's not going to happen next year, or probably not going to happen in 5 years. But within 10 years, 15, who knows? With luck, you and I may still be in radio. But that radio will be a very changed thing, and it affects folk music like it affects all other forms of music. Classical music's had a very major shift, is that none of the major orchestras have major labels anymore. They're all putting out their own recordings. Mm-hmm. Chicago Symphony used to be on, you know, big RCA, and then Deutsche Grammophon, et cetera. Now they have their own record label, because the recording industry, if they can't make a killing on a quick rock record, they don't want to deal with it. So,
And I guess that raises a question in my mind, is with all this material out there, how do you find it? Who's doing the editing? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, there are two choices. You can go via the Pandora route, which is a source on the internet where you tell it what you like and it finds everything else similar, whether it's key structure, lyric structure, chord structure, whatever, and just programs a radio station for you of similar songs. So if you want to hear love songs that occur in May and that are in a D minor or whatever, it will find every similar song that exists. The other thing is shows like yours, shows like mine, where you have guests who are talking about their music or talking about their book, and then people can get a sample of it, hear what it's about, go out and look it up. Or in my show, where I spend 8 hours planning a 3-hour radio show so I can find the best possible songs to put in the best possible order in those 3 hours. And people listen to my show and then go out and buy what they like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the filters. And even on the internet, if we have to give away the transmitter, I'm sure that there will be radio stations doing that on the internet that have credibility that people want to hear and are willing to pay for. Thus, the big model will remain listener support, listener donations. I'm not sure what the advertising model is going to work for a lot of this. So people basically are going to say, I want this and I'm willing to donate for it. And that's what the public radio model is now, and I think that's a big chunk of what the internet's going to be in the future.
Yeah. Last week, I didn't get to hear your show, but I checked on the website, and Patty Larkin was the featured artist, the CD of the week. And why she comes to mind right at the moment is I heard her on Morning Edition, which is quite a coup, I would imagine, for a singer-songwriter to get on an NPR program like that. But anyway, what I heard on that program, I thought, that sounds good. I'm going to look into that. And now it's been on your program, and I can listen to that on the archives. And then I can go to Patty's website and pull it up. But one of the other things that she, one of the things that she said in the Morning Edition interview was, it sounded to me like this is a collaborative effort between her and some friends of
25
hers.
25 friends.
Yeah. And what she did was she asked them to respond to her and send her music, and then she put it together, which is, that's a pretty remarkable way of collaborating, isn't it?
She chose her, basically had her friends choose the 25 songs of hers they liked the best and her 25 favorite songs, and then she would do a basic recording and let them embellish it the way they wanted to embellish it. And she has a 2-CD set now of 25 years that she's been doing this, 25 friends, 25 songs. And she's going to be at the Old Town School in Chicago, I guess it's April 11th, I guess it is. And I'm fascinated because also in the past, Patty has had the urge to rock out quite a bit. And this CD is strictly acoustic. It's gorgeous. It's this, the sound of it is just beautiful. And she has so many different kinds of other artists, John Gorka, Cheryl Wheeler, all the who's who of the folk community and some of the rock community assisting her. And it's really beautiful. And since you brought that up, another artist who was on NPR on Scott Simon's show on Saturday of a week or two ago was Anais Mitchell, somebody I've played on your show a year or two back, who has written a folk opera. She's taken the Orpheus and Eurydice myth from Greek mythology and made an opera of it. And then she got Greg Brown, who's a noted singer-songwriter, and Ani DeFranco and a few other well-known people to record it as an opera. And just came out with the CD. I failed to bring it with me, but it's quite an audacious thing for a folky to do. I mean, we're growing into an artistic form that, you know, is beyond just a simple singer-songwriter, which I'm very pleased with. I think Anais Mitchell is one of the most brilliant people writing today. But another option where somebody creates an opera and then gets other people in the community to contribute to it. And so there's some very exciting creativity going on out there. And thanks to NPR for giving these people a chance to get heard.
Yeah. But then here I'm going back to the thought that if, like, let's say I wanted to do this Pandora box thing, I wouldn't know what to put in there because I hadn't been exposed to these artists, this music, until I'd heard it somewhere else.
Yeah, there's some sort of program that when you go to Pandora, I haven't actually used it myself, but apparently you can sort of, if you have a few favorite artists, you can program their names in, and then it starts playing them, and then it starts embellishing that. It's some sort of computer algorithm. It's sort of like a Google kind of thing where it starts to figure out, you know, how what your taste may be, and then sort of computer-wise recommends it to you. So who knows what the future is? But I was really pleased, as you said, when I heard Patty Larkin on NPR and then Anais was on earlier and a few other people who've been on. And I think it's great to get this kind of exposure to this music.
Yeah. Well, we got a call coming in on line 4. So let's go and talk to this listener waiting for us in Lovington, I believe. Line 4, hi.
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 I was listening to you sometime last year. He played a song, and it was about a guys in a tavern, and at the come closing time, the bottle never left the tavern.
Well, it's Funny you bring that up, because that's one of the CDs I brought with me.
And I thought I had the artist, but I never got the name of the song. So.
Okay, the artist is James Keelahan.
Yeah, that's who I had.
And the song, let me just brief the books, is McConville's. That's McConville apostrophe S. Just called McConville's, and that's the name of the tavern in the song.
Oh, okay. I got on your website, and I couldn't find it. I don't know if I overlooked it or, you know.
Well, it's easy enough to do that, but I think we ought to play that song.
Should we do that?
I just like the song, and I wanted to get to it. What CD is that on?
It's called House of Cards.
Okay.
And Celeste has put it on the WILL website for the Afternoon Magazine, so I think you can find all the details right online.
Okay, good deal.
Okay, thanks for the call. I think we should play some James Keelahan. Do you want to play that?
Yes. That song is so special, so good. It proves that a modern singer-songwriter can write a song that's worthy of being a 400-year-old traditional song. So.
Okay. And what track is that, Rich? Because we want to make sure Henry's with us. Okay, here it is. Track 5. Okay,
yeah.
We're ready to go on that. Let's do it.
I work down at McConville's. It's the pub behind the square. If ever you're in Portadown, anyone can point you there. We have lagers, ales, and porters. But the thing that brings them in is the whiskey that McConville brews. That's where this all begins. In all the years I've worked there, and for 50 years before, not a bottle of the sweet stuff ever walked outside the door. 'Cause McConville laid the rule down, and it was honored till today. You can drink your fill while at the bar, but the bottle has to stay. Six or seven years ago, when young Jimmy first came by, he was looking for a local. We were the third place that he'd try. He looked around, no Ferns, no telly blaring from the bar. And once he tried the whiskey, Jimmy never strayed too far. He'd come in after dinner for an hour, maybe more. He'd play some cards and talk and joke, 'cause that's what a local's for. Before he'd leave most nights, because the bottles had to stay, he'd ask me for a whiskey just to see him on his way. Three days ago his maid came in. He said Jimmy took a fall from the roof that he was working on. He had no chance at all. And today after the funeral, after burying young Jim, they came here to his second home. Mourners crowded in. Then I did a thing I never thought I'd do till it was done. I took a bottle from the shelf, I held it up for everyone. Rules are made for breaking. Tonight the whiskey leaves the bar. auction for the family will give me £50 to start. At £500 the bidding stopped. Yeah, you couldn't hear a sound but for the roar as Jimmy's friends stepped up and laid their pay packs down. And I can't believe I did it. I never thought I'd see the day that I'd hand someone the bottle and then watch it walk away. And as I was headed home tonight, I passed the graveyard by. I'm sure that I heard singing and silhouetted on the sky were Jimmy's friends. They were pouring something on his grave, a little offering for young Jim to help him on his way. I work down at McConville's. That's the pub behind the square. If ever you're in Portadown, anyone can point you there.
And that's James Keelahan. What a wonderful voice he has. And he's a wonderful writer as well. That's McConville's, and the name of the CD is House of Cards. He's been out there for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
He's well known, and I have some discs of his at home. They're wonderful. Great storyteller.
30 years, I think, he's been touring now, and he's actually going to be on our Folk Stage series for the first time, at least in our studio at WFMT. I think it's June 14th. If anybody's within range of 98.7 in Chicago on a Saturday night, you'll probably hear him live.
Okay, very good. We don't have a lot of time left, and I know we want to play one more piece. Who would you recommend we hear, and maybe you tell us a little bit about the artist and what we're going to hear?
Well, I think it's about time we heard a woman's voice, and Diana Jones certainly has a fine voice. She currently lives in Tennessee, and she has a unique style, I think, a little bit like Gillian Welch. And she has written this song that it just really moves me, because I'm very jaded about love songs. Love songs are a dime a dozen, and most of them are pretty trite or boring or whatever. But Diana Jones has written a love song for adults, and this song is for people maybe over 40, but people who have matured and can truly understand what a relationship is about, that you love each other for your flaws as much as for your attributes.
I want to know you, know where you've been, know how you came through. The sound of your voice, your original sin. Where we are is where we begin. Cracked and broken and beautiful. Cracked and broken, that's how the light shines through. I want to see you in the fall of the morning, in the last of the evening, unfurled and uncovered. And in the same light, I want you to see me. Cracked and broken and beautiful. Cracked and broken, that's how the light shines. Beautiful. stars are made of. Where you and I start, where we both come apart, and where we come together again. Cracked and broken and beautiful. Cracked and broken, that's how the light shines through. We're cracked, broken and beautiful. When China breaks, it's never the same. When I felt your love in my heart became cracked and broken. Cracked and broken, that's how the light shines through. We're cracked, broken and beautiful.
Diana Jones, Cracked and Broken, from Better Times Will Come. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest today, Rich Warren, the host of the Midnight Special. My name is Celeste Quinn. Let's take another call before we run out of time. A listener in Bourbonnais, line 4. Hi.
Hi. Before I ask my question, that James Keenahan song was just wonderful. And it's interesting that this song you just played, Leonard Cohen treated the same theme about the light getting through the cracks in one of his earlier albums. My question is, would you please comment on the half-life of a folk singing career these days? Every week on your show, there's lots of new talents. You know, maybe you get 50 albums a week or something. And, this generation is pushing the next generation along, and I'm sure a lot of people drop out and aren't heard from again or get eddied off to the side. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I would guess maybe about 20% have staying power and 80% find other careers that they just can't make a living. It's a very hard living being a singer-songwriter in every aspect. Either you have a partner or spouse who can help support you, or otherwise you have to go and find real work. Not that touring isn't real work, but I think there are people with staying power that come along, and I think there are people that I'm playing now, young people like Aeneas Mitchell, who will be doing this in 20 years, who have enough intelligence and energy and dedication that they'll want to keep doing this for their lifetime, that it's just they can't think of anything else that they'd rather do. And a lot of these other young people, though, that come along, they're going to disappear. Now, for example, James Keelahan, he's been doing it for 30 years, and he'll do it till he dies, and that's all he's ever done is music, and that's him. Some of the other people, Diana Jones didn't really pick this up till she was about 35, and her first album just totally was a different person. Then she decided when she was 40 that she was going to change her entire outlook on life and style and created this persona who she is now, and this is her second album as that persona, and she's somewhere in her 40s. And this is what she's going to do, but she took a long time getting here. She has an Ivy League education. She may even have a master's degree, for all I know. But she went to some famous Ivy League school, and she's well-educated. It's not somebody who just dropped out of high school and decided they were going to write songs. So you're right. There's of the songs I play in the Midnight Special, I think maybe 20% of the young artists will be around in another 10 years doing what they're doing now.
Does a listener want to follow up?
Basically, what I was getting at, there's a certain poignancy in that, and I suppose the cities and towns of America are filled with totally talented people, wonderfully talented people who either had something of a career and it faded away or just had the dream and never got very far at it.
Yeah, and certainly even in Chicago, there are a number of people there now who were very popular in the early 60s. But for one reason or another, they decided not to pursue a career in music or commercially couldn't pursue a career in music. They became parents or they found something else they'd rather be doing. So it is poignant. There are people all over the country who have sort of vanished. Even people I liked and have known and have had 3 or 4 CDs out suddenly stopped touring. It's really hard in the soul. And let me point out that with how difficult it is to fly these days with an instrument, or even drive with gas prices what they are and traffic congestion, et cetera, it's harder and harder to be on the road. Once, you know, in the old days, if you were successful, oh, you could fly. It was golden if you could fly to your gigs. And now, as that song from a year ago, United Breaks Guitars, the airlines charge you a fortune to check your guitar, and then they destroy it. And so it's much harder to be out there. And generally, Peggy Seeger, who's a friend of mine, gave her Farewell to Chicago concert last night. She's moving back to Great Britain because it's too hard. The United States is too large and too difficult to tour in. And we're in England. Everything's a three-hour drive from where she's going to live. So she can play 25 different venues within 3 hours of her house, which is just almost impossible here. Plus, of course, she gets better health care over there. And that's, at her age, that's very important to her. So,
yeah. Also, lodging is an issue. I know that many singer-songwriters, many folk artists, they have to have friends where they travel to because they need a bed for the night.
And we're fortunate with our Folk Stage series on WFMT that we have a couple of donors who are members of the Folk Stage series with nice homes who put the artists up just because they like the music so much. And then they even let the artists do a house concert the next day so they can make a little extra money. And that's keep some of these people going. But it's a tough life. It very much is a tough life. If anybody thinks a touring musician is that dreamlike thing where you waltz into the gig and you play your songs and, you know, you get in your Mercedes and drive to the next gig, I'm sorry, but that's not the way
traveling
it works.
Traveling is not glamorous, especially at that level. Maybe if you're Mr. Trump, it might be something different. But anyway, we've got to wrap it up here, Rich. And I know that we'll talk with you again. It will be in another venue. But we'll do it again.
Well, I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Celeste. Real pleasure.
Rich Warren, the host of the Midnight Special, and we hope you'll join us for the Midnight Special Saturday afternoons from 2 to 4 o'clock here on AM 580. The program also on FM 90.9 HD2, and you can also find it online at will.illinois.edu. And the music we played this afternoon, if you're interested in what we played, visit our website, will.illinois.edu, and go to the afternoon magazine on the AM page.